in all for our dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help. I would direct your prayerful attention to words that you will find in the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke and verse 11. The 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke at verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I'm going to base my comments around these words, the words of the women that came to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ and reported what they had seen and heard, and yet were not believed. If we look at the beginning of the chapter, we find that it was the first day of the week. And this is why we as Christians observe the first day of the week rather than the traditional Jewish Sabbath day of Saturday. Because it is a new beginning. One said that really Sunday is to be considered as the eighth day of the week, setting forth that new beginning where Christ has now risen triumphant from the dead, overcoming the powers of sin, death, and hell for his people. And it was very early in the morning. One of the writers tells us, while it was yet dark. What love these women had toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But one may ask, where are the men? Well, we know of two men told of us in the Word of God. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, who for fear of exposing himself to others came to the Lord Jesus Christ at night. And the other is Joseph of Arimathea, an extremely rich man, who begged the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're told that he was a secret disciple, if there can be such a thing. So not many rich, not many noble, not many famous people believe the account of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. It is to the poor that the Gospel is to be preached. Perhaps poor in circumstances, but particularly poor in their soul's condition. Those that have a felt sense of need, and those who have come to see that Christ is the all and in all of the Scriptures. So before the day breaks, these women take spices to the sepulchre. And I believe it proves to us what love they had to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might ask why. Why did they love the Lord Jesus Christ so? Well, of course, the answer is given to us in the Word of God. We love him because he first loved us. Now, we're told later on who these women were. One was Mary Magdalene. We know of her that she was a vile woman. She lived in the darkness of sin. She was a filthy character. Because we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ cast out seven devils. And as I told you before, seven in the scripture is a number of perfection. She was perfectly held in the grip and vice of the wicked one. She was his plaything to do what he bid her do. Man thinks that he has a free will, but in reality, there are only two masters, either the devil, who takes hold of all men, as it were, from the birth, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who regains or recaptures his people out of the devil's cavern. Well, here is a precious soul that had been saved by free and sovereign grace. That she had seen what she was by nature, and she abhorred herself in dust and ashes. And she was given faith to look to Jesus. And without faith, Paul tells us in Hebrews, it is impossible to please God. Now, our whole subject really is based around faith, or the lack of faith. And that lack of faith, which especially we shall see, was in the hearts of those who were the Lord's people. But these women, these poor women, came, and remember that they had to pass through the city. They had to come to a graveyard. It needed courage, it needed grace to be able to do this. But you know, where the faith of God is bright within our souls, then all these obstacles are seen as no obstacles at all. They had one desire. They wanted to render unto the Lord the little that they could. Because they loved him. Because they desired to do everything within their small power to honour the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it be in his death. And so they pursued their desire to come. And was it faith that enabled them to believe that that great stone that had been rolled in front of the sepulchre, and the seal that had been put upon it, and the guard that had been put around the grave so that no man could come near? Was it faith, I say, that believed that all these obstacles would be overcome? Did they consider in their hearts, is anything too hard for the Lord? With God shall anything be called impossible? If they had sat at home and considered and thought about the situation, they would never have ventured. But you see, faith enables us to do many things. Now, you may feel that these women had extraordinary faith. They had strong faith, they had real faith, they had vital God-given faith. Yes, they did. But we shall also see that there is much unbelief mixed with that faith. Well, did the man say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I believe? And then immediately followed up with the words, help thou mine unbelief? There was a recognition that he had been given something that he did not possess before. But he was still dependent upon God to give him everything that he needed. And don't we find this at times? That sometimes it seems as though our faith is strong. At other times it seems as though we have no faith at all. The pathway of a true believer is to bring him to an emptiness of self and a fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gospel we have set before us. What glorious truths. You see, as we have been considering over these last few days, we have the two central pillars of the gospel. The crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour. Now, you take one of those pillars away, and the whole temple will crumble. And so we must believe that Christ died for our sins and rose again for our justification. And that everything throughout the scriptures points to this. And again, I trust we will see as we proceed in this chapter how that the Lord proves that he is the Christ of the Old Testament in the same way as he is the Christ of the New Testament. All the scriptures point to him. Everything in the Word of God is surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the central sum and substance, I say, of the whole gospel. And this is why it is so important that we consider from time to time both the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these women come to the tomb, and they are amazed to find that the stone, of which they have been considering and wondering how they could have it removed, was already removed. And don't we fear sometimes difficulties in our pathway? And these are great mountains of trial to us as we perceive and wonder what we shall do, only to find that the Lord completely removes all obstacles from our pathway. Truly we find again and again the Lord better to us than all our fears. The Lord is good. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God alone. And they were perplexed, especially when they saw two men, that is, two angels, that stood by them in shining garments. And they must have recognized that these were not ordinary men, that these were divine creatures, because they bowed their heads in a reverential act, in acknowledgement that these were ones that were sent from heaven, the Lord's messengers, to his people. How often we find in the scriptures, and Luke especially in his gospel enumerates occasions where angels were sent from heaven. His gospel is quite peculiar in that sense. And they are afraid. Natural fear takes hold upon them. And the two men speak unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." It brings us to consider this. How much do we hear? And how much do we remember? How much do we hear and yet not hear? How much is lost to our thought process? We have heard the gospel preached for many years. But how much of it do we really take in? How much do we really consider to be the truth? How much do we lay firm hold upon? Now the Lord had specifically spoken to his disciples, and I don't mean just the 12, but those followers that had followed the Lord Jesus. And remember that these women, and again it shows to us, but God is no respecter of persons. But women are not of a second class. Ye are all one, says the apostle, in Christ Jesus. And there are evidences in the Word of God where the Lord has laid a special favor upon women. These women were some of the last at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord has given the woman a sympathizing heart, a tenderness which is peculiar to her sex. And hear how they must have been grieved to see the loving, kind and tender Lord, the Lord who had done so many wondrous things, there being cruelly taken, hanging on the cross, derided of the people. It must have vexed their very hearts through and through. And yet, out of love, out of respect, out of desire for him, they lingered there. Doubtless the tears falling down their faces, tears of great sorrow, to see the agony that he endured. You know, if we have a loved one that is suffering pain, how we feel for them, how we take their pains upon ourselves, as it were. And so these women were moved, evidently moved, by all that had taken place. But the next day, being the Sabbath day, they observed what they had been commanded through the scriptures to observe, to keep the Lord's day holy. And there no manner of work was to be done. And so at the first opportunity, I say again, before the daylight broke, there are these women, tender in their fear of the Lord, desirous to do all things for him, come to the sepulchre. And these are the circumstances with which they meet. Now, they ought to have known, they ought to have remembered what the Lord said, and as soon as they saw the empty tomb, they should have rejoiced. The Lord is risen indeed. But sadly, they had forgotten what the Lord Jesus had told them. They did not call to their memory the specific words that he had spoken unto them, how that he must suffer at the hands of cruel men and be crucified and rise again the third day. Had they not considered that it was the third day? I'm sure they had. But for a moment, you see, their sad ignorance or their unbelief had taken hold upon them, and they had forgotten these tremendous words. And surely they are such words as ought to burn into our very souls. Christ must die and rise again. I say, it's the central theme of the gospel, and this is why Paul so often preaches concerning the cross. And by the cross, he so often thinks of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the one could not be without the other. If one element was missing, then Christ would have been a deceiver. But of course, he was not. He had the power of God. He rose according to the scriptures. But here is something for these women. In verse 8, it says, and they remembered his words. Their minds, as it were, needed to be jolted. They needed someone to remind them of what the Lord had said. And as soon as they were reminded, they received the truth of it. And you can imagine how this little group of women returned with some excitement at this joyful news of what they had seen and heard. And they come to where the apostles are gathered together, told these things unto the apostles. That may seem incredible to us, but the apostles believed them not. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Were not these credible witnesses? Did not the apostles know concerning their conversion? Did they not recognize and observe their deep and tender love to the Lord Jesus Christ? Could they consider these women as idle tale bearers? And yet that would seem as what they did. So incredible was their account. So great was the story that they told, that sadly, these followers of Jesus were so filled with unbelief that they could not receive these credible witnesses. But when we're looking at them, we need to look at ourselves. One said, "Oh, that I could believe, then all would easy be. I would, but could not. Lord, relieve. My help must come from Thee." And we have to ask ourselves this morning, having heard the account of the crucifixion, and now of the resurrection, do we believe these things? Or is the minister standing before you and preaching to you a bearer of idle tales? Do we come with fables upon our lips? Do we bring before you things that are blatantly untrue? If so, you have every right to ignore them and even despise them. But there is a day coming when we must give an account of our stewardship. Has the preacher faithfully preached the gospel? Has he laid out the way of salvation before the people? Has he lifted Christ high upon the gospel pole? Has he told sinners what they are by birth and nature? Has he warned them of the wrath that is to come? Has he told them that wondrous story, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners? Has he shown you that there are none that should be in despair? Because if characters like Mary Magdalene can be saved, then so can we. But if free grace, why not for me? Here is a free grace gospel. But what's missing? What do we lack? We lack what these apostles lacked. Now, don't get me wrong. The apostles were saved characters. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They implicitly believed in all that he claimed to be. All that he said he was. But here they are stunned with grief and with sorrow at the circumstances that had taken place. They had a misconception of what the Lord Jesus Christ had come to do. And we find this again and again in the Gospels. But not only the apostles, but many others believed that Christ had come to set up a kingdom upon this earth, to rid them of the rule of the Romans, and to set them free as in the days of David, the great king of Israel. But at this moment they could not believe. It seemed so incredible to their ears, so impossible to their minds, that they rejected the very truth that was set before them. I say, we have to ask ourselves, how many times have we rejected the truth? Oh, I'm sure that among us there's no one that would disbelieve the gospel notionally. You know that this gospel has been preached for 2,000 years. You know that it has been proclaimed by reliable sources. You know something of the character of those that have walked in the gospel way. And so, you cannot be termed in that wide sense as unbelievers. But do you really believe? See, the one element that was missing was faith. If we have faith, then all impossibilities become possible. All dark things become light. With faith, we can do everything. We need the Lord to give us faith. To be able to believe the account that is set before us concerning this great Christ, the Lord of God, the one who was sent from on high. And the words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed not. So will we go home today and not believe that which has been set before us? Will we demonstrate that we have no faith? Or will something touch a chord in our hearts? Because if we really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we, like these women, will have a real genuine love and desire for him. And it won't matter if it's dark. It won't matter the dangers of passing through the city. It won't matter the awesome thought of coming to a graveyard at dawn. All obstacles will be thrown aside. The one desire will be Christ and him alone. And the thought in the mind will be, tell us more of this same Jesus. We want to know all that we can possibly know of him. Fill our hearts and minds with the knowledge and love of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. How can I know that he is my God and my Saviour? How can I know that his blood that was shed at Calvary was shed for me? These then become urgent questions. And it will be the need of our soul to be satisfied that these questions may be rightly answered. That we might know that we are born of God by the Holy Spirit's work and brought into a living relationship with this same Lord Jesus Christ. And then the words of the preacher won't be as idle tales. They will be believed. And if they are believed, they will be acted upon. And there will be a desire to join with the fellowship of God's people. But how deep is our unbelief? How hard are our hearts by nature? Now look at the next verse. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Peter had every good reason to believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he had boldly asserted, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Blessed." How he had denied his Lord with oaths and curses and gone out and wept bitterly, tears of genuine repentance. He had every reason to want to believe that the Lord was risen and that he would be reconciled unto his Lord again. So he's moved sufficiently. He's touched by the words that the women have told him. He's curious enough to go to the sepulchre, him and others, and they see the linen clothes there neatly laid, and he departs, wondering in himself of that which was come to pass, not rejoicing, not believing, not declaring Christ is risen indeed. Still his faith is short. Still there is much unbelief. And you see, you show me the person that is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and show me that he believes perfectly. There is never any unbelief in him. And I'll point you to Peter, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ without any shadow of doubt. And yet you see what unbelief is mixed with his faith. He should have been rejoicing. He should have been openly declaring to all to whom he met that this same Jesus, who was crucified, dead and buried, has now risen, triumphant from the grave. But alas, he goes off with thoughts in his head. What does it mean? What's it all about? Has someone come and taken away his body? Is it possible that the authorities have stolen the body? Is it possible that other friends have taken him and buried him in another grave? And it seems as though he lacked that essential faith to believe that the Lord was risen. And then we have, following on from that, the account of the two upon the Emmaus Road. Now it would appear that these were not apostles because they return to the 11 that were gathered together. But doubtless disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these two were walking together. Why they were walking on the road to Emmaus, we're not told. Perhaps so dejected, so cast down that the end of their hopes had come, and now they saw no other but to go on to pastures new, and to find something different. And as they talk together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And yet their eyes were beholden that they did not recognize him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" See, again, they did not believe or credit the witnesses that were sent to them, the women. They did not believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he had spoken, or they had forgotten them, that he would die and rise again. All their hopes have been dashed. All they could see was misery. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou so disquieted within me? Trust thou in God. Oh, how we need faith to be given, that we might trust in him at all times and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways to acknowledge him, that he may bring it to pass. They were sad as they walked and debated the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Cleopas answering said, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And Jesus said, what things? He seeks to draw them out. Where are their hearts? Where are their minds? What are these thoughts that they are thinking? Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Ah, how they lacked. How they lacked that faith to believe in the Son of God. They considered him a prophet. And aren't there many today that consider the Lord Jesus Christ to be but a prophet? And not the prophet. Oh, how many despise the fact that Christ is the Son of the living God, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit in the Blessed Trinity. One God in three persons. A mighty prophet. One in deed and in word before God and all the people. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But here we come to it. Here is what they believed. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. O fools, and slow of heart to believe. Does that sum up us? Are we so ignorant of the ways of God, of the truth as it is in Jesus, that we do not believe the credible report that is set before us? Or how by nature we would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. But they trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They trusted, they did believe it. They had hoped that Christ would be this great king who would reign over them and put all other authorities under his feet. They, like the rest of the Jewish nation, were looking for a natural saviour, not a spiritual one. And what are we looking for? Are we looking for someone to help us in our circumstances? Are we looking for someone to put the world right and to put this nation back to where it was once before? What are we looking for? What is our hope and our expectation? And if this is our hope and our expectation, then like these two, we will be sadly disappointed. And we will look upon the world today and say Christ failed. He failed in delivering up a kingdom. He failed in bringing many to believe on his name. For it is certain in the world today that the vast majority do not believe in the person of Jesus Christ. Idolaters, atheists, all kinds of persons, even those who say that they are Christians, who attend some form of worship every Sunday, yet they do not believe in the Christ of God. They have not that living, God-given faith to put their trust in Him. What about you and me? Do we trust in this same Jesus? Do we know what He came to achieve here upon this earth? Can we see that His finished work was a work of triumph and glorious display of His wonderful person? That He triumphed over His foes? He won the great victory? That He is the Lord of all? And all things are in His hand and in His command? And all will come to pass exactly as He has designed? We trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Here are two that did not believe these women. Neither did they believe Peter and others that went and confirmed that the grave was empty. They believed not that Christ was risen, else why would they be sad? But they were sad. They were disappointed. They were dejected. They were cast down. Because all their hopes and expectations, as they had been dashed, had all come to nothing. Christ lived a good and profitable life, and He died, and that was the end of it. But of course, we know it's not the end. He rose again. And these must come to learn this vital truth. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said He was alive. They didn't believe the angels either. Some people thought that if an angel were to come and preach the gospel, then we would believe that gospel. But though an angel came from heaven. And of course an angel could not fully understand the need of the gospel, because He has no need Himself. The Lord's wisdom was in choosing men of similar fashion, sinners, to preach and proclaim the gospel of His grace. Because these understand their need. These are dependent upon the Spirit of God. These need the Lord Jesus Christ, and without Him find and prove they can do nothing. So the angels didn't move them. The women didn't move them. And so far the testimony of the Lord Jesus has not moved them. Although we learn afterwards that even while He was talking to them, their hearts burned within them. What a marvelous thing. If this morning, as the gospel is being preached, our hearts are burning within us. Burning with desire. Longing to hear this joyful news. The Lord is risen indeed. And He's risen in our hearts. And isn't this the great climax of it? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? The beginning of Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. You know, there are people that say we shouldn't preach from the Old Testament. We should always go to the Gospel. Only the Gospels. Well, of course, in those days the Gospels were not written. But Christ didn't need the Gospels in that sense. Because He preached the Gospel from the Old Testament. No doubt this He spoke of the burning bush. Of the sacrifices that were to be made. Of the blood that was to be shed. Of the priestly office. Of the high priest. Entering in once every year. Oh, how He turned to the Psalms. And to the latter prophecies. And find so many things. Because it all speaks of Him. It all records His wonderful work. It sets in type and shadow what He had come to perform in reality. O Oh, how we need our understandings opened, that we might receive this glorious truth. Now, what was the consequence? And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. We avail ourselves of the preaching of the gospel. We come to hear what the Lord directs his servant to speak. I say again, does it make an impression upon us? Does it move our hearts? Well, what did it do for these men? Still, they were filled with much unbelief. Still, they were slow of heart to believe all that the prophet spoke concerning Christ. Yet when they drew nigh to the end of their journey, they constrained the Lord Jesus Christ to come in. They wanted to hear more. They wanted a greater revelation of the truth. They had a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They sought to be taught these things. They realized that they had an instructor who was sent from God. As yet they did not know who he was, but soon he would reveal himself. But it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now they believe. Now that their eyes are opened, and their hearts are enlarged, now they believe and they go back. And they go back to the 11 who were gathered together in fear and trembling, still wondering at all the circumstances of the day, and they relate to them all these things. And yet still they don't believe. Still their words seem to them as idle tales, and they believe them not. It's incredible, isn't it? Out of the mouths of many witnesses, and yet they cannot receive it. Then the Lord Jesus Christ appears. He reveals himself. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But what was the reaction? They were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. Isn't it sad what our nature is? How unbelieving we are. What does it need to awaken us and to quicken us into spiritual life? Doesn't it prove to us that even the best of man cannot give himself faith? That we are all, every one of us, utterly and completely dependent upon our God. And in verse 41, and while they yet believed not, for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And he eat before them. And then in verse 45, then, not until then, but then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believe them not. Well, don't we find exactly the same today? The preacher may preach with all zeal and desire, prayerfully considering the matter beforehand and bringing it before the people, exuding upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, desiring that all might be filled with the Spirit, only to find that they believed him not. How dependent we are upon God for everything. Well, there are so many Arminian churches in this country who believe that they can bring themselves to Jesus, that all they have to do is read a few pages of scripture and they're saved. Sad, poor, deluded, foolish people. Without the power of God, we will never believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that power to be opened up to us, to have our understanding open, that we might receive the truth. Understanding the scriptures. It's like the man who was reading his Bible in his chariot. They're not understanding. He wanted someone to open his understanding. He came to realize that he could not do it himself. However much he tried, however much he gave himself to religion, he'd gone to Jerusalem to worship at the temple, the place where God had so revealed himself. Doubtless he had come away disappointed. He had believed not the things that were spoken. And so he sat reading the scriptures, longing, desiring, hoping that he might gain understanding. And the Lord directs his servant Philip. And Philip joins him, and beginning at the same scripture, spake to him of those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me end where we began. Christ is the central sum and substance of the gospel. And unless we have love like these women, that love that constrains us to follow him, we will never come to heaven at last. It is love to the Lord Jesus Christ which is the evidence of the work of grace in our hearts. And don't expect to find faith so strong that casts all doubting out. We will be persecuted, I was going to say, with lack of faith all our days, until we come to heaven itself. And then we will need faith no more, because we will come to the pure light. For Christ is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.